Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Thank you very much, and that's Ken Quiet Hawk, and welcome everybody to Nightlight. That was Ken Quiet Hawk, as I said before, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with any luck, wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, spiritual intuitives, and that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, take your shoes off, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Christina Nelson tonight, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. Tonight is a different venue, so to speak. Tonight is an interview show night, so no readings tonight, folks. So you can sit back, relax, and hopefully be enlightened in another area other than the psychic realm. Tonight I'm going to be talking with Christina Nelson, who is an amazing woman. And she has a profound bio, and you know, I'm usually not one for bios, but this one's big enough to choke a horse, so I'm going to share it with you. She's been doing paranormal investigations and psychic readings, since the 90s sometime. She's a third-generation psychic and medium, published writer, ordained minister, paranormal investigator, licensed private investigator, published poet, and author. She has dipped her fingers into many different pots. She's woven them all together beautifully, and she has managed to evolve them into a wonderful persona that she's working on a new TV series, hopefully. And she is known as the Demon Warrior, and she's working on a documentary of her life as a paranormal investigator and researcher with a hell of a ghostly twist. She's certainly going to shed another light on this wonderful realm, this wonderful field that we all are involved in one way or another. And she has taken it to a new level, which I think is phenomenal. She certainly has stepped out of the norm and into her own venue and created her own persona and her own method of dealing with the paranormal, which is wonderful. She also has a new show on, and it's called, and please excuse me, but all I can remember is what Chris on Curious Times called it. It's on Wednesday nights at 2 p.m. That's Pacific, so that would be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Paranormal Psychic Radio, and she does that show with Solana, who is also an amazing woman who does paranormal investigations as well. She handles an aspect of the field, yes, PP Radio. She handles an aspect of the field that those of us who are into the spiritual, you know, prefer to sort of sidestep and let the heavy-duty guns handle it, and Christine is definitely heavy-duty guns. She deals with clearing of houses. She deals with shadow people. She deals with a lot of those things that the rest of us would rather pretend do not exist, yet we know it does. I'm going to pull her on and let her explain it. Hi, Christina. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing exceedingly well. You know, you have, you know, one of those bios that goes on forever as well. And
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you know what? And I would bet money that you never intended it to become a bio. You just followed your dreams and you followed your callings and you went to where you felt you needed to be at that time. And never along the way, I would hazard a guess, did you say, oh, this will look good on the bio, let's do this too. I truly believe that people like you have been called. I don't think that this is something you elected to do or become. My feeling is that there was a calling and you answered that calling. You didn't fight it. You just kind of went with it. And as a result, you have the excitement of having shot, would you call it a pilot for a series?
Yeah, actually, yeah. We're doing a pilot, a series right now. It's the pilot's done. We're waiting for a major network to pick it up, A&E, you know, History, Sci-Fi, whoever likes it the best, the highest bid or whatever you want to call it, picks it up. We're in the process of that now, and it's basically the a day in the life of Christina Nelson, the Demon Warrior, and how she goes out and combats these lower energies and things that are attacking these families and homes and businesses and land. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm really excited about it.
Now I know it's a TV series, but are you using actual cases in all of this?
Yes, absolutely. The cases are going to be real-life cases. The sizzle reel now that we have out, the commercial, whatever you want to call it, the pilot actually has real life situations that's happened, and it's pretty intense and it's exciting, and it's definitely got the wow factor. You know, it's going to make people look at the paranormal a lot different than they see it now.
I would hope so. I would hope. Well, you know, and I have to admit, you know, the Crossbow Warrior. Impressive, and you look really impressive with a crossbow slung over your back. I just have one question: Do you use silver-tipped arrows so that if you come up against, you know, a werewolf or something, it
absolutely no. But you know what? It's something I need to have in my famous ghost bag just in case, because there might be one out there. You never know.
Well, I yeah, always be prepared, absolutely.
Exactly.
But, okay, so I know the crossbow is not necessarily the first weapon or the first line of defense that you utilize. What are some of the tools that you use when you are combating energy that is not good energy?
Yeah, absolutely. I have what's called, I call it my demon bag or my ghost bag. It's a big canvas tool bag that I carry it around like a purse because I never know when I'm going to need it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I have to have it. But in that bag are all my tools. Now, my number one most important tool that I possess in my whole, everything that I own, in my bag, in my home, everything I own, my most important tool I possess is my frankincense, myrrh, and sage, and my holy water. And it's a mixture that I have. And I use that in protection, because frankincense and myrrh is the most powerful protection out there. You know, it's kind of like Superman couldn't penetrate this. It's just, it's amazing. You know, I had my spirit guide tell me when I was in a deep meditation, he said, Christine, we were having a conversation, and he says, you know, when the wise men took frankincense and myrrh to baby Jesus, they did it to protect him. And why do you think they took frankincense and myrrh? And I'm like, well, it smells good. I didn't know. I never thought about it, to tell you the truth. And he said, because it is the most powerful protection tool we possess on this earth. It will protect us from any lower energies. And from that moment on, I have always used it. He gave me that tool, like the gods, you know, would give their not saying that, I'm a god or anything like that, but you know what, in these stories, the gods give them a tool. Thor gets his, you know, hammer, you know, and, you know, these different kinds of tools. Superman gets the superpowers. Well, I feel like my spirit gave me a superpower tool, and that's my frankincense and myrrh.
Uh-huh.
Kind of cool.
Wow.
What do you think about that? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you know, you usually think of sage.
They laugh at it,
and
but yeah.
Do they really? But it smells so good.
Parents laugh at it. They're like, the lower energies, yeah, whatever. That's why I was having issues, because my sage wasn't working. And that's when Eli gave me the tool. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I think frankincense and myrrh is fabulous. I mean, I love those smells. They are they are amazing. But how would one know that they would be in the need of services such as yours? I mean, sometimes I'm sure my house is going crazy, because my computer the other night had the most weird music on it at all. Chris jokes that I sent her. I mean, it was demonic for sure, and it was like, I got to see what Christina thinks about this.
No, absolutely. That stuff goes on. That's my life, too. And unfortunately, Mary, who's so good about it, my partner, my wife, she has to deal with it, too, in my home. But I know how to combat them and get them out, because they do come in. But how do you know you have these kind of things, or what to do? Well, just like you said, that was out of the norm. I mean, your computer just doesn't growl at you. Come on. I mean, you know something's going on, right? Like the other night, I was actually writing a story. I was sitting on the couch all by myself in the whole big old house. The lights were all off, but just a little teeny light, so it was kind of eerie in there. My dog's sitting right next to me. I'm sitting there on the computer writing an article on shadow people. I'm always writing. I love to write, and I'm always learning or reading or writing. So as I was writing this article on shadow people, something literally hit me upside the head. It literally hit me. And I've been attacked before. And my dog even jumped up, and my dog never does that, and he jumped up. The other two dogs were on the other side of the house, and they didn't see it or feel it, but Echo, my baby next to me, felt it and jumped up. He didn't bark, but he sensed that there was something in there. So right away, I jumped up, and I got out my big gun and my frankincense and myrrh and my sea salt, and I went to work. It only took a second, and I prayed, and just right away, the energy shifted, and it felt better in the house, so I definitely got rid of it, because we have the power. But when things like that start happening to you in your home, and you're hearing growling, or you're seeing shadows, or something is actually scratching you or attacking you or anything like that, right away you want to combat it. Right away you want to combat it. And I could teach you and give you the tools to do that. But if you don't feel comfortable enough, then you call people like Christina Nelson, the Solanas, or, you know, the Barbara DeLongs, and the people in the world that know how to combat these things and help you through it, because you don't want to leave it festering, because they can't allow more to come in. Because obviously, if there's one in your house, you probably have an open portal. So if one's in your house, there's going to be more coming if there's not already more in your house. So always, always pay attention. And if you feel something lower in your house and it doesn't feel good, you know what? Take care of it right away. Again, don't let it fester.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, one of the things that now I am by no means in your pay grade as far as this particular stuff goes. I have a number of times been asked to go in and you know, see what spirits were there and, you know, what negative stuff was there. And I know, I instinctively know that if I say, sure, I'll come, no problem, that tells me immediately there's no spirit there. Because I think that this is one of the, you know, kind of like I don't have the credentials for this, and I absolutely know that. But usually when there is weird activity, I look for emotional stuff in the people in the house. I mean, mm-hmm. when you go into one of these houses, you know, do you do some sort of screening process, or do you go in with your bow cocked?
No, both. No, absolutely. I go in and I interview the home, and I interview, you know, the people in the home. Usually, not so intense of an interview with the person that doesn't feel attacked, but the person that feels that they're being attacked or that sees more or whatever. For instance, I had an investigation last week, I went in and it was a young woman. She was 22 years old. I went into the home and I interviewed her extensively because I have to know there's not a mental disorder. Is she taking mind-altering drugs? I mean, does she have a chemical imbalance? Has she been diagnosed with bipolar or other kinds of diseases or depression? I need to know these things, you know, what's going on. Unfortunately, I believe that this individual had severe sleep deprivation. And because of that, she was creating some poltergeists,
mm-hmm.
which would be you're manifesting your own, like, spirits and energy. And not only was she doing that because of the fear and the sleep deprivation, she actually did have a shadow person in the house. And not only her has she seen the shadow person, but so have the other people in the home. But it attached himself to her because she was the weakest link. And they tend to attach to the weakest link, to some of these lower energies, and she was. So
okay,
I had to go in with cocked and ready for battle, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you just mentioned something that I use the phrase as well, but I think we're talking different things. And in your bio, it also talk about shadow people being something that you have dealt with for a very, very long time. Can you kind of give us a definition of what shadow people are?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'll let you know, as a child, and I'm sorry someone's coming in and my dogs are going to bark, so I apologize for the barking.
Okay.
As a child, I was about 8 years old. I had what we call a shadow person that attached itself to me, and it was horribly devastating for me and very, very scary. It was actually my mother and myself that was attacked by this shadow man. And he would hover over me and he would sit next to me, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be sitting in a chair watching me. He was he had a black silhouette of a body, very, very black, red beady eyes. He had the hat. Most of them look like they have like a hat on, a black hat.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing attached to me for years. So I always knew in the back of my mind that some way or another I'm going to learn how to combat this thing and other things that are in this world that are scaring people, because I don't want anybody to live through the fear that I grew up living in. I can't tell you how many countless nights I wake up in the middle of the night with terrors and screaming, and nothing would come out from paralyzed from fear. And I didn't want that to ever happen to anybody. And I started hearing stories throughout my life of all these other children, mostly children, being attacked by the same thing I was seeing. So I'm like trying to put two to two together. I said, like, how can they see the same man I've seen? And our stories are all sounding alike.
Yeah.
So these things have to really exist, because we're not getting together and making a story up, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
so that's
absolutely.
That's when I started really realizing that there are some lower energies out there, demonic or whatever you want to call them, that are attacking our children, and the elderly. They do attack the elderly as well. So that's how I became very interested in shadow people. So I started doing a lot of research on shadow people, a lot of research, a lot of reading, a lot of writing myself. I wrote a few articles, one for a prominent magazine, and then a lot of articles for myself and journaling. My situation and my encounters with shadow people throughout my life, battling other people's shadow people. I battled my own not very long ago. I think it was in 2000 and 8 or 9, I finally learned how to battle these things. It took me that long. I knew they were around. I felt them, but I wasn't sure how to battle them. I kind of feared battling them, and there are people that fear battling them. One of them is a very famous psychic medium that does a TV show. Her name's first name's Amy. I won't say her last name, but she too is very, very fearful of them, does not want to battle them, the shadow people, because one almost killed her as a child. They will kill you. But I learned how to battle them.
Now, what about children that have the night terrors? Are those night terrors associated with shadow people and stuff like that?
I absolutely believe that. I don't believe it's a mental disorder and sleep deprivation that doctors will say, or sleeping issues. You know, they're in a certain type of a sleep, like REM or something, is causing their minds to do this crazy stuff and have terrors. I don't believe that. That's clinical. That's, you know, you want to believe the scientific side, that's fine. But no, children that have these night terrors, I 100% believe without, hands down, without a doubt, that they have what we call a shadow person that's watching them. And that's what they are, they're watchers. And they attach themselves to certain children and watch them.
My grandson has night terrors. And the very first time I saw him having a terror, you know, my son stopped me from picking him up and, you know, waking him up. My son said, no, you have to just let him work it through. Now, he's 11 years old and he still has to have the lights on when he sleeps.
And that's very, very classic. And he's probably really afraid of the closet or under the bed because that's where they hide. They will hide in your closet or hide under your bed. And there's, you know, that's folklore. You know, since the beginning of time, everybody's afraid to look under the bed or in the closet at night with the lights off. Well, you know what? There's truth to that. That's because that's where the shadow people hide, because they have to. They will not be where there's traffic. They're cowards. They hide where there's less traffic, and that's under your bed or in your closet or in the attic. They don't. They will not and don't want to be caught. They don't want anybody to know they're there, other than the person that they're haunting. Or attacking, and they don't want to be where there's a lot of traffic. So they're cowards, and they hide in little corners like under beds and in closets. And your grandson most likely has one. I'm going to tell you, there's thousands and thousands of these shadow persons, people across the earth. They feed off fear, and what better fear and more innocent fear is there to feed off of than a child? And that's why they go after our children, and they can attach to you for a lifetime. They could not.
Can one be removed without the person knowing you're removing it? In other words, you know, my son, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren are all fundamental Christians. So, you know, going at them and saying, look, I know you don't believe in any of this, but there's a possibility that there's a shadow person attached to one of your kids, you know. I will get written out of the will immediately.
Your grandma's out of her rabbity-ass mind and everything else. No, I totally get it. What you have to do is what I would do. This, I haven't had that situation, but I've thought about this. It's the scenario of something like this, and I would take that child and I would hold them tightly like I was rocking them or loving them or have them next to me. Doesn't matter, but I would try to touch them somehow, holding their hands or whatever. And then I would telepathically start communicating with the shadow person, because they can telepathically communicate. And I would say, look, you will not, and I demand you to leave. You know the prayer. You know the lowdown. You know, we have the power in God. And, you know, God is my Savior, and God is almighty. And you have no dominion over this body or this family or this child. And you will leave. In the name of God, you will leave now. And, I mean, you in your mind, you're going to start really getting very, very...
ranty.
I mean, you don't want to be mean. I don't believe in being mean to anything, even a lower energy. But you want to be very stern, like you would like a upset mother.
Mm-hmm.
And demand it to go. And it may take more than one time. But now he knows. See, this is the thing with a shadow person. Guess what? He's going to be with there, and he's going to go, oh, my God, Barbara DeLong knows I exist. Barbara knows I'm here. Oh, no. Because they do not like to be caught. So there could be tricksters. So, okay, you feel he's left. But then you find out your grandson is having the night terrors again, okay? Now, you do it again. It's taken me up to three times. I've never had no more than three times because they finally give up. They give up pretty easy. It's a fight. It's a fight. And I've been hit, and I've been scratched, and people see it. I have it on video. They're not free little things. Let me tell you, they're not. But he's eventually going to leave and go to someone else or hopefully go to the universe and never come back. I can't tell you exactly where he's going, but I'm praying to God that he's going into the universe or not on this earth anyway to ever bother anybody again because I bind him off of this earth. But, you know, the thing about it is once you do this, he knows you are on to him. He is going to leave. He's going to give you one, two, maybe three times, and he's going to go, like, this is a losing battle. I'm out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. Forget this woman. They don't like to be caught. Yeah, seriously, they don't like to be caught.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. The people that I call shadow people, I guess there must be another term for them. I call them shadow people because they are those spirits, those energies that at the moment of death there was such impact that their image was impacted on time. So they redo the last perhaps 6 to 12 hours of their life. And they walk through it, and you can't talk to them. They don't recognize you. They don't see you. It's like they are, and that's why I call them shadow people. They're not. There's no spirit there. There's just the memory of their presence there in time. And so you kind of see them, you know.
Residual.
Yeah, milking a cow, or and I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the one place that I will not go, have not gone, nor do I ever intend to go, I lived 60 miles away from the World Trade Center. When the planes hit it, thousands of people were, you know, thousands of people, their last moments were impacted on time. Now, I don't feel that they are there. But I feel that their images are there, and it can be
absolutely.
It can be disorienting. I would think, you know, no way I want to go there. But what I would call them residual energies as opposed to shadow people, because shadow people obviously are something very different.
Yeah, no, they are very different. Shadow people are demonic, evil little suckers that are here watching us and feeding off our illnesses and our fears. So we'll put them aside right now, and we'll talk about that. And that is definitely what we call residual energy. That's a thumbprint in time, and it was a horrible disaster. It was a shock to the system of Mother Earth. It was a shock to the system of our atmosphere and our Earth and our time and all of that. It was a shock. It was a ripple. It's huge. And so when that happened, that left that impact. For instance, if you go to my, and I have an amazing picture, and I've seen several pictures of the World Trade Center, after pictures. And one of them is, and this has been proven, it's on my Facebook page, which is Paranormal Photo 1, the number one, Paranormal Photo 1 on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you scroll down, there's a picture of where the World Trade Center was. And there were some tourists taking pictures. And if you look very closely where the Twin Towers was, there is a faint shadow of the World Towers, the Sears Towers, is that what they were called?
Uh-huh.
There was a faint shadow, if you look in the photo, of the two Twin Towers. That was a residual energy. That was a thumbprint. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been several photos taken like that. Also, people that work around that area now, they will hear a plane coming through, and it scares them, but there's no plane. Or it's like a very faint, faint sound. They still hear bodies dropping on the ground because they were jumping out of those buildings like popcorn, just hundreds of people, because they didn't want to burn. So there's people that they interview that work around there that still hear the bodies hitting the ground. Those are because of the tragedy left imprints in time. And that will never go away. Same with the battlefields. When they go out to the battlefields and they still hear the cannons going off, some people. They actually have EVPs of cannons going off and soldiers screaming. I've heard the EVPs.
Yeah.
They see shadows all the time. These are imprints, thumbprints, because of the disaster and that warp in time. It rippled it. And so those things are residual energies. Yeah, and it will never go away. So mostly that's always in horrible natural, not even natural, any kind of disaster. Those things will stay with us forever. Well, hundreds of years. They say eventually it kind of will fade away, but hundreds of years it'll stay in that little ripple of time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the concentration camps over in Europe. That's another place where there are these residual energies that are just profound. And, you know, you have... I think one of the most fascinating collections of areas of expertise of anyone I've ever met.
I read a lot.
Well, seriously, you delve into areas that I really don't want to, because you know, I'm a wuss, and
no, you're not.
No, I'm a wuss.
No, you're not.
I'm a wuss. Oh, yeah, I am. No, I truly.
You know.
I don't. Go ahead.
I gotta tell you, a lot of beautiful, and I'm not saying I'm not a beautiful soul because I feel I am. I try really hard to be a good person on this earth. But what I'm saying is, beautiful people like you, Barbara. I know many people like you, and you all have your calling. Yours is to spread love, and you do, and you're always just this. Your gifts are amazing, and when you do readings, I don't even call them readings. I just call them paths and life paths, and it's just I can't even describe your gift. But that's your gift. That's what you do. Where my gift is more of the dark side of I have a light side, and I am a psychic medium, and I love what I do as a psychic medium, and I'm a life coach and an investigator and many things. But I also work on the dark side of stuff that a lot of light workers like yourself, and I use the word light worker, because that's kind of what it is, but a lot of light workers like yourself do not want to delve into the dark side. And it's hard. And I've had psychic mediums tell me, Chris, you can't work on the dark side and the light side. And that, and it is kind of like Star Wars. There is the dark and there is the light. But and wear both hats, but I can and I do, and I think I balance it very well. Can everybody do it? No. Absolutely
yeah,
not.
No,
you probably
I think...
couldn't. Mm-hmm.
No. I'll tell you. I was attacked only once that I know of, and I was going down to Virginia on a very regular basis to a store down there, and the owner of the store only had me come in to read. She wouldn't let the local psychics come in because she didn't like their energy, and so I would go down every 3 months and spend a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks doing readings. And I always had, the night before I started reading, I always insisted there be a free meditation so people could see how I worked and see if they wanted to get a reading. Because I, it's kind of like, okay, here's what I do. And I basically did a meditation, and then I gave messages to everyone. And we were doing it, the meditation, on the anniversary of Kristallnacht. Probably not the best of times to do it.
Interesting, but okay.
So the day of the meditation, the night before, I felt kind of uneasy. And, you know, I said to Nancy, who was the one that owned the store, you know, I feel a little weird here. And, you know, maybe I'm coming down with something. And she said, well, then I am too. And so we went to bed. And the next morning, we both got up, and we were both drenched in sweat. I'm talking drenched in sweat, hair, you know, the whole thing. And I'm laying in bed thinking to myself, boy, if I was teaching school, I would call in sick. And I heard the phone ring and her son, Scott, say to her, Mom, Barb just called in sick. She's not going to be able to be at the store today. Now the other a woman who worked at the store, her name was Barbara, and I thought, God, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I got up and I said to her, hey, you know, I'm just drenched here. Something's crazy. Something's wrong. And she said, yeah, maybe we've got a bug of some sort. I said, I don't think it's a bug. I just don't know what it is. And so we got closer and closer late afternoon, and I said to her, you know, normally when I do a meditation, I protect the whole group
yes.
of people. There's a protection I put up. And I said, mm-hmm. I don't feel I can do that. I think we have to cancel this. And she said, you know, I think maybe that's a good idea. And then there were 75 people scheduled to come.
Uh-oh.
But she canceled it. And that night, and I have wicked sinuses. And, of course, I was down in Goldenrod Haven. And I had with me my Nasonex and my this and my that and NyQuil and all sorts of stuff to try to make sure that I could breathe. And I lined it all up on the nightstand, and I took it all because I was really feeling like my nose was stuffing up. I couldn't breathe, and I figured, okay, I'll leave it on the nightstand so they'll know what they're pumping out of my stomach if they catch it fast.
yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
I was, and so that night, I just, it was almost like it was surreal. I kept hearing voices, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you can't breathe, you can't breathe. And my reaction to that was, I'll take a bad cold, but I'm not dying. I don't have time, and
there
you know,
you
and so I woke up in the morning and I couldn't breathe. I literally did not sleep all night. I took everything. What I took should have knocked me for a loop, maybe killed me, but mm-hmm. clearly it didn't. And mm-hmm. and I said to the woman who ran the store, I could not breathe. I could not breathe. And I said, I have to go home, and I have to go home now. And so she put me on a plane. I could not breathe on the plane. I got home. My mother picked me up. I said, right to the doctor. We went to the doctor, and, you know, he said, what's the emergency? I said, well, aside from the fact I can't breathe, I'm just fine. Just hand me your strongest antihistamine and let me go home and sleep this off. And he said, Barb, have you been in a bar fight? And I said, excuse me. He said, seriously, have you been in a bar fight? And I said, I don't drink. and he said, I know you don't drink, but have you been in a bar fight? And I said, are you going senile on me? You're not old enough to do this. And he took me and he marched me over to the mirror and he pulled down my blouse and there were two handprints on my neck as though someone had tried to strangle me and they were black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, is this some of that psychic crap? And I said, just give me the antihistamine and I'm going home. And mm-hmm. That was the moment that I suddenly respected the fact that I am a child of light. Nobody's going to hurt me is not mm-hmm. really the truth. You do need to protect yourself. And 2 months later, I went back down and everybody said to me, oh, no, don't go back, don't go back. I said, oh, I'm going back. And I don't know who it was or what it was, but I was clearly attacked. And it was probably one of the scarier moments I've ever experienced in this field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were definitely attacked, and that does happen. And that's why I tell everyone, you know, it's unfortunate that that happened to you. And it does, I don't care how strong or how good or whatever, it scares you. It scares the hell out of you. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. I get it. You know, but that's why I tell people, and especially like when I go on with an investigation team or in a home or even myself or my wife or anybody, so important to always protect. Don't say, oh, I protected this week. I hate hearing that. You protect every single day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in protection. And everybody around you and your dogs and your fish and your house and the dirt and the car and everything. I do every single day. And I still can get attacked. I have been attacked. But I'm going to tell you, it keeps me stronger. And I know, and I without a doubt in my mind, that I would not be here today if it was not for my protection.
Oh, yeah. And,
I would either be in a mental institution or I'd already be dead.
I mean, people
seriously.
Don't. People don't see me or hear me protecting, but, oh, I protect.
Oh, I know you do.
It just, you know, it's sort of like I only need to, something like that, you only need to warn me once. You know, that's
yep.
all.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
now, so you clear houses. What are the different things that can be problems in the house. Certainly demon possession or shadow people, or, you know, I don't know, built over graveyards. What are the kind of things that can really infect the house?
Well, mostly the houses I do are some, it seems like most of them are just little innocent earthbounds that are stuck and don't know where to go, what to do, and they're just kind of walking in circles. And they like attention. So they'll throw something, or they'll manipulate the electronics or whatever. And when I go into the house, I feel energy, just like you or any of us light workers. We're at a very high vibration, and we've taught ourselves and with our training as well, how to feel and how to be aware and how to take the clutter out of our minds and put it away while we're doing these things and to hear spirit and to hear anything that might be in the house. So when I walk into a house, right away I'll know it's earthbound, or it could be a shadow person, or it could be a demonic type energy. And if it's really demonic, then I give them all a prayer protection, and then I call in a demonologist or have them call a priest. I know a few demonologists because I'm not going to go that far. But there are some that are so bad that I'm not qualified, and I don't want to be qualified for that. Leave that to the demonologist and the priest, right? I will assist by all means with prayer and everything else, but I won't be the front runner of that game. But most houses I go to are earthbound. For instance, I did this one, and they could be really bullies. Let me tell you, they could be some pissed off earthbound, because what happens is they die. Most of them, they seem to have died tragically, that I deal with anyway. And they still, when they don't go to the light or the veil, that means they still have their faculties, their feelings, the way, the kind of person they were. They still carry that with them in that other dimension. Is walking around on this earth. So if they were a pissed off person or a mean person, they're still going to be that way even when they're dead, because they didn't go into the veil, which is, the veil is where we get, you know, we go into the veil, into the light. Well, the veil is where we get the shower of cleansing, because you can't go in the light unless you're pure, right? So these earthbounds are walking around. So I had this one particular house that I did in a few cities over here, and they were horribly haunted. It was like the little girl, she was 5 years old, bless her little heart. She would wake up in the middle of the night screaming, and I thought it would be a shadow person because it was a little girl. But she would wake up in the middle of the night screaming and terrified. It was horrible, and she would always see fire. And the family would run in her room, and there's no fire, nothing. So they're like, oh, whatever. So the grandmother came in from Mexico, and she was sleeping with the little girl in the little girl's room. And they woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a fire in the middle of the room, but nothing was burning. And the grandmother's like, oh, que la vi mio. You know, she was so upset. She couldn't believe what was going on because there was no fire, but there was fire. So the family called me and said, look, this stuff is really going on. We need you here. So I go, and this was a really bad, bad bully spirit. As soon as I walked up to the front door and opened the door, the spirit got right up in my face and said, what the F are you doing here? It was one of the strongest spirits I've ever dealt with. I'm like, what? Whoa, and I'm trying to keep my composure for the family, right? I'm like, dang, what did I just walk into here? And then I started realizing, okay, this is an earthbound. Yeah, okay, it's an earthbound. So I went and sat down, started interviewing the family, and behind me under the stairs, that's where he was. And he was back there taunting me. You're not going to do anything. I don't know why you're here. I didn't tell you to come here. Get out of here. He was being really mean to me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do with this guy. I didn't, you know, I was kind of like, oh, this guy set me back. So I started doing the clearing in the house, and I had my prayer bowl in my hand. I had this on tape. It was amazing. I had the prayer bowl in my hand and all my, you know, tools. And I'm going through, started going through the house. I went into the first room with the bathroom. Bam, he hit me. He hit me hard, left a huge mark on my arm. The bowl of burning sage went flying across the room on fire. Everybody saw it. It was amazing. And I had a huge welt. So he was very combative. And so as I go through the house, I go into the little girl's room. Was the last room I wanted to go to, her room last. He was in there, and he started calming down a little bit. And I said, so why are you here? What is going on with you? We got to talk, dude. This isn't cool what you're doing to this family and this little girl. Well, he had told me that he had was in a car accident, and he burned up. but he didn't die right away. He went into a nursing home for, he was in the hospital for months, and then went into a nursing home to recuperate or whatever it is they do, and he died in the nursing home. But he wasn't that old. I believe he's in his 40s. And so I said, well, why are you bothering this family? I mean, I'm sorry, you know, this has happened to you. And then, you know, he said, well, I died on that bed. And that's my bed, that little girl's bed. And I'm like, I don't get this. So I asked the mother, I said, where did that bed come from? And it didn't look like a hospital bed. It honestly didn't. It just looked like a little bed. And she said, we bought it at a nursing home auction. Yeah. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you, this earthbound is attached to this bed because that's the last thing he knew when he died, and he didn't want to leave this bed because he doesn't want to go to the light. He's scared of the light. So we got to get rid of the bed. We're going to burn it up. We're going to get rid of it. Nobody's ever to have this bed, ever, ever, ever. We're going to burn it.
Okay.
So anyway, I worked on getting him to the light, explained to him about the light, and he was afraid he was going to go to hell because he was a bad man. He said, I was mean all my life. I did horrible things. I was an alcoholic. I was just basically an asshole and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to heaven. You have family waiting for you. I'm going to send my angels down, my spirit guide. They're going to come and take you home to the light now. Go to the light. It's okay. Just go to the light. Truthfully, your family's waiting for you. And so I start comforting him. And you could tell his demeanor, just the spirit's demeanor just went, finally, after all these years, somebody's talking to me and understanding me, is what he's saying. And I said, go. Just go now. It's okay. And he went. And do you know that family never was bothered again? And that little girl was able to sleep again. So those are a lot of what I deal with are earthbound. I just did another one in Eagle Rock that was similar. They're just, they're attached to items, familiarity. So that's what I deal, with, stuff like that.
Well, that makes, you know, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder because, you know, the light is there for everyone who passes over. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's hard to envision somebody not going into it. It's almost as though our spirit, you know, wants to go home. So what happens to these spirits that just suddenly don't go?
They're going to wander, and they're going to wander. And what could happen with these spirits that wander, and a lot of them it does happen, they unfortunately get enslaved by, like, these shadow people. These shadow people will take them in and lie to them and say, come to me. Come to me. And these shadow people love to have the earthbounds around them, like their little minions and their little slaves. Don't ask me why they do. I don't have all the answers. I wished I did. So every time I ever do deal with shadow people, there are always earthbound stuck to them. And the earthbounds will tell me, well, he told me this, this, and this, and I'm stuck here forever, and I'm going to be with him. If I leave him, then I'll go to hell, so I have to stay with him. So they still fear in their earthbounds, their minions, I call them, as well. So a lot of times these earthbounds that are wandering around, don't want to go to the light and never get the luck or whatever you want to call it to get with a psychic medium that can feel him or see him or send him home, they're going to end up probably in this horrible place with shadow people or these demonic energies that are sucking them in and lying to them. It's kind of like a cult here. It's kind of like that. You know, the cults will bring you in and say all these wonderful things are going to happen to you, and then they bring you in and you're enslaved to them. Well, that's what happens to these earthbound. So that's why I and myself and Solana, who is amazing as well, we both will go in and we will find as many earthbounds as we can and send them to the light. You should have seen Solana and myself. They cut us loose on the Queen Mary. Man, I bet we sent, I know if we didn't, I'm lying if I'm dying or however you want to say it, I bet we sent 100,000 home. I have never, ever in my entire career of doing this or feeling energy have never felt so many earthbounds as I did on the Queen Mary. There is a vortex on that boat because that many people didn't die on that boat, trust me. It's just some kind of vortex on that boat.
I was gonna say that. Now you pull up an interesting. Now a vortex for me is an energy vortex that really transcends all dimensions. So and time. So that I've only experienced Well, the one that I remember the most, I was working a party for someone who had just been made a Supreme Court judge in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I met with him before his party, I said, you know, you realize that this is against the law. So if I'm arrested here, you know, you damn well better, you know, defend me. And he said, he put his arm around me. He said, I want you to look out on the lawn. See all those people? I said, yeah. He said, it's every prosecutor and DA in the state. You can't be tried in this state because they all will have had a reading from you.
That is funny.
After his party, he said to me, we have a vortex here. I said, I noticed the swirling energy. And after the party, after everybody had gone, I saw a coach and four come up. And then after that, I saw some Spanish soldiers riding by, and I saw some Puritans and some farmers. And, you know, I said, you know, and you know, he didn't see it, but, you know, he could feel something was coming, and he would say, what was it? And I said, you know, I don't want to leave because this is amazing. And he said, what are you waiting for? I said, the Ark of the Covenant, I guess. You know?
No kidding. Oh.
It was
wow.
The only thing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I love
it. It was the only thing left. I mean, the time frames and periods that came through were phenomenal, and on top of the people in costume and not in costume, but in their dress of their time frame, I would say that probably we went back a good 1,000 years anyhow, and you know, it was amazing because. He said, sometimes the ground just shakes. And he said, I'm wondering if there are dinosaurs. And I said, you know, there very well
Why
could
not?
Be, but I didn't mm-hmm. see any. But that doesn't mean that they aren't there. And I said, the time frame that you've got here that I just saw tonight was profound. So, and he said, and then we have spirits in the house. And so he took me into the house, and I walked through a couple people. And you know, I you know, the air chilled, and you know, I said, you know, these people mean you no harm. They have lived on this property for a very long time. They're comfortable, they're loving, and they're caring. They love your children, and they do play
Aww.
With them.
And I love that.
And you know, the judge said, you know, we've seen them play with our children and grandchildren. We've seen balls move. We've seen and he said, you know, there's never been anything of an you know, an evil or upsetting thing. And quite often, he said the first grandchild that stayed the night there, they had a cradle. And they heard the baby start to cry, and somebody got up to check on the baby, and the cradle was rocking all by itself. And, you know, the judge looked at his wife and said, well, somebody's taking care of the baby.
Really?
And her comment
wow.
back was, they may rock it, but they aren't changing the diaper, so.
That's funny. That's cute. But did you try to get maybe send some of them to the light, or how did that work? Or you just left them, or?
Well, you know, it first of all, they were all going into the vortex.
Okay.
And there was light in the center of the vortex.
So into the light.
My feeling was they were all going through the vortex, but the people that lived in the house knew the vortex was there, but they liked the family that was in the – I mean, the house was like 200 years old. So they
well,
just –
some choose not to go. Mark,
yeah, that's what I was
going to
ask you, just because mm-hmm. – just you know, frankly, I'm so nosy. I could see me not going because I'm having such a good time here. And you know, I have so much curiosity as to how a lot of stuff is going to play out that you know, if I could sit on the curb and watch, I think I'd be tempted to do that. I mean, would I not, I'd want to go see my family and everything, but no, there's just I'm so fascinated with the human element and how it behaves in different situations that mm-hmm. that you know, you kind of want to watch.
And I can see that. Mm-hmm. And why not? Because you're spiritual, so you can ward off the evil demons and stuff that are on that other side with you. Because you can't carry that with you as an earthbound.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would hope. But you know, the reality is I know spirits on the other side check back in on us. So I know that I could, you know, tune to Earth Channel on the big screen TV up there and check out what's going on down here. It's just that that I am so fascinated with how the human species is evolving and how we go through times of great darkness and then you know we have the Dark Ages and then we have the Renaissance and then we have World War II and all of that stuff. And I'm waiting for that period of time where we're focused on love, peace and sharing. And you know, it's gotta come sooner or later. We've had all the other crap. But you know, I don't know if it's going to be in this lifetime, and you know that sometimes you know is frustrating. But you know, when you look at the people that surround us today, you can see those individuals that are they're already troubled spirits. So you don't know if when their time comes, if they're going to go into the light to sort of heal and come back and do a better job or if they're going to choose to wander around. And, you know, you really hope and pray that they will find the peace in their spirit they need in order to be a contributing factor to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I don't
– right.
I mean, I don't think you're ever going to be out of a job. But
more dead people than alive.
Oh gosh, yeah. But now before this TV series pilot, were you as quirky as you are now? I mean, the crossbow came with the series, I take it.
Well, yeah, it did. The thing is, it came with the series. Since I've been doing paranormal investigations professionally, and it hasn't been forever, but I've been doing it for a little while now, I find that a lot of items are attached. Something could be attached to it. Like I said earlier, sometimes dead people are familiar with something, so they attach themselves to it. I've seen it from a little ceramic kitty to beds to whatever. I mean, I've had it all. The Lar Fox, just all kinds of things that have been manipulated, I call by spirit. Okay? So I found that I could go in and collect these items, which I've collected all items, you know, and I'd bring them home, but I'm thinking, what do I want to do with these items? And this is where the TV show came in and started helping me out as well, because I have all these items hanging around. And I don't want to take them to the dump because people go through the dump and they pick stuff. And they're going to see this really cool stuff and maybe they're going to want it. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't want anybody to ever have this stuff, so I'm going to destroy it. That's what I'm going to do. Or bury it. Or if it's really big, I'll take it out to the ocean and dump it. Something where nobody could ever, you know, have this item, that will ever possess this item. So we decided, since I grew up with knives and guns and bow and arrow, things like that. I did. My father was a knife builder, did gun and knife shows for years, and so I've always kind of been around that. And then my ex-husband was into guns and knives, and then my son. And so I've always been around that stuff and always been fascinated with it. Now my partner, Mary, loves guns and all that cool stuff. So I said, I'm going to start using my crossbow and maybe my shotgun and things like that and just take the stuff out to the desert and just blow the hell out of it and have fun with it. And that's what I do. I take all my collection, my bone collection, I call it. I gather it all up. Just recently, we took it all out to the desert, and I put it all out. And it's really fun because I do like a ritual, and I just love it. I place it all out there. I had a vacuum cleaner. Some lady said this vacuum cleaner went off by itself all the time, and she goes, "Oh my God, it's possessed." So I said, "All right, let me have it." You know. So I get all this cool stuff. So I had a vacuum cleaner. I had 50 items. This stuff. And I spread it all out there, And I burned my sage and my frankincense and everything, and I prayed, and I said, any energies that may be left on these items, you know, I'm sending you to the light with love. And so I did, and I lit some candles, and I did this beautiful ceremony, and I did the northeast, south, and west, and all that, the little Indian, Native American Indian ritual thing that I do. And so I did that, and now the fun part, and this is where the TV show's really cool. Now I get to do the fun part. So I get out my shotgun, my crossbow, my big crossbow, my little crossbow, my shotgun, my .357 pistol, my fire. I have a demonator, which is a big old axe and a hammer that I use, all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm out there just destroying everything. I am blowing it up with a shotgun. I've got my big old crossbow. I dip it in fuel, and I catch it on fire, and then the crossbow flies into the, like, Ouija board, and it kind of blows up, you know, and it's just so cool. And so that's what I do, and that's what makes me so different and sets me apart from other paranormal investigators and stuff, is that I get to go out there and actually destroy this stuff and shoot stuff and break stuff and have fun with it and, you know, have closure. Basically.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great thing. And you know, on top of the fact that, I mean, first of all, foremost, laughter has to be involved in everything. And if you put your tongue in your cheek and you do the destruction in a fun way, that's even better. Now, you're familiar with the Warrens, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
The Warrens, who did, you know, the investigation of the Amityville and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, and they were bone collectors as well.
Oh, yeah. They still have the collection. That's the scary thing.
I don't know why they don't destroy it, but okay. They have their reasons. I know their reasons, but I don't agree with it. But that's okay. They're great people.
Well, he passed away, and she's still going.
She's still going. I still see her on TV once in a while. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she did that. You know that show, the I forget what they called it, but it was college kids that were doing investigations.
Yeah, she did a lot of their psychic medium stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did, and she lives right here in Connecticut. And
I love her. I do. I think she's amazing.
She has an amazing sense of humor. But yeah, she still is doing it. I think her son-in-law is now working with her as well. But now, her husband was a demonologist.
Yeah,
now,
he was.
You are called a demon warrior. But you mentioned that when it comes to the demons, that you really want to have an exorcist or somebody involved with you. Exorcists don't live a real long time because... the stuff that they go through does take its toll on their lives. Now, I'm sure that you have become involved in some of this, but you haven't been the main driving force.
No.
We talked briefly before we started in with a show. Give me your definition of what a demon is and why it is so dangerous.
Okay, a demon we'll start from the beginning. They were. I don't like to call them fallen angels. I believe they were sent to Earth to procreate, to create a better creation of man. So they procreated with the humans that were on the Earth and made a superhuman. And so these superhumans were born, and the angels and all of them are still here, and they're procreating the Earth and bringing the Earth up, technology and things like that. We're talking thousands of years ago, folks. So this is my belief, though. So you guys can think I'm out of my rabbity-ass mind. You can email me at ChristinaNelsonMedium.com. It's okay. So anyway, what happens is they're starting – now God's intervening. I mean, he's saying, okay, wait a minute. You guys are all being ornery. You're doing bad things. And this is not cool what you guys are doing. You guys are starting to fight each other. You're killing each other. You know, it's ridiculous. This is not going to happen. So, you know, I'm going to have to kill off this race and start over. So he caused a flood or, I don't know, a fire. I'm not sure. Okay, guys, I'm just not. I don't have all the answers. But so they were all wiped out. What happened was they're immortal. The angels are immortal. So their souls stayed. And their bodies, of course, are gone, and all the humans, the hybrids are gone, but the souls are still wandering around here. But they can't go to heaven. They have nowhere to go, and they're very evil and very pissed off, and they're now demons. And they are floating around this earth, causing all kinds of anarchy, like they were doing when they were alive. And they're causing a lot of the mishaps that happen on this earth. And they do, they are the driving force behind things like when the planes, you know, flew into the buildings and all these horrible things that happened in war and all that. I do believe they are the front runners for all this. They're the ones causing this lower energy, these demons. That's my rendition of what a demon is. And they're here, and they're evil, and they're ugly, and they're tricksters, and they're just nasty little sons of guns. That's what they are. And they can kill you, and they can hurt you really bad. I do not deal with them when they are really into, if they are possessing somebody, and that person is absolutely 100% possessed, I won't go that far in. That's where the demonologists have to come in. So there you go. That's my rendition.
Okay.
Yours was a little different, I think, but
Well, yeah, but I think, you know, I think every definition, you know, has some validity and some, you know, twists that were added by those that wanted to have a better story. I mean, it's just with demons.
I don't
believe
in hell, serious. Go ahead.
No, I don't either. But demons, to me, while I agree they're immortal, you know, they can't be killed, but they can be bound, they can be exercised,
mm-hmm.
they can be sent out, you know. I mean,
we
in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, in the Bible, Solomon had a ring, and that ring enabled him to control demonic energy, and they built a lot of stuff for him because he had the power over them, according to the Bible. I don't, you know, and the Bible,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I have come to believe that the Bible is a wonderful book, but you, but literal anything of it is probably unwise.
yeah, don't be too literal, but yeah, I get you.
But you know, it's sort of like there's so much. While there are demons out there, and I truly believe there are,
mm-hmm.
People like, oh, gosh, Jim Jones, Hitler, there had to be demons working with him because there's just no other way that much evil could have happened all on its own.
No. They're definitely the driving force behind those evil men, yes.
But I think the one thing that gives me a little bit of hope as far as the demons go is that they all have such strong egos, they won't work together. So,
no, they are solo. They are solo. Yes, they are.
So that you really, you know, you're not going to find an army of demons coming after you. You're, you know, a singular, maybe. Is there any type of person they are most attracted to, or do they just
yes.
jump on anybody?
No,
okay.
They are after, no, absolutely, the dark, we call demons. I don't even like that word, demons, but it's the word everybody understands, so I use it as like demon warrior. Because if I
okay.
say dark energy warrior, people are going to be like, what? What's that? Right? People identify
right.
the word demon, so I just use the word demon even though I hate the word. No. Demons do attack, and I think they come. Okay, for instance, there was a gentleman, really quickly. He wanted to dabble with the satanic occult, as they call it. Okay, and I don't really believe in Satan and all that, but there is. But you can conjure up some evil thoughts and things by doing this. And so this individual conjured up, he wanted to play with the occult, so he's doing the pendulum thing in his house, and he's doing the all the satanic-looking things, and has the satanic book that he's reading out of, and so he's getting his friends in on this, and they're doing these rituals, and they take a cat, they cut its throat, and they all, you know, put the blood in the cup, and they drink the blood, and so they're doing this demonic thing, right, as we call demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is these little stupid demon things, whatever you want to call them, are saying, ooh, yeah, they're wanting some of this, aren't they? So they're standing back watching these kids. I'm gonna get me some of that, because they're opening themselves up. And they know they're not smart enough to pray, you know, to God. Oh, God, help me. You know, they're not godly people. Because let me tell you, these demons, they do fear people like us that are spiritual, or I'm going to even say the word Christians or godly people, because they don't want to be around people that are going to pray them and do all that. That's the only thing they fear is God. So they don't want to be godly people. So they're going to go after these guys, these kids, these people that are conjuring up this demonic stuff. So they attacked this man. They literally got at this man, and he became very – actually did a television show, but I talked to the guy on the phone, but they did a show about him. He conjured up this demonic devil, evil thing, and it entered his body. And crazy things was happening to him. And he didn't know what to do. And every time he would get a girlfriend, this thing would be mad at him for having a girlfriend and would attack his girlfriend. And one of his girlfriends actually, and she was perfectly normal before she met him, but after she met him, she wasn't so normal. She drank Drano.
This thing, oh, my God.
Drank Drano. Yeah. Crazy things were happening to this guy. He was morphing. He was bleeding out of every orifice of his body. He was convulsing. The guy was truly, I would say, possessed. He talked to me on the phone in Solana and wanted help. And I'm saying, you know, dude, I will do everything I can to help you, but you've got to get a demonologist in on this. You know, I'll be a forerunner and do the prayer and be there, but you've got to do the work. You're going to have to get the big guns in for this, because this is serious stuff. Because I already knew his story. And then he had talked to Solana, and the same thing. Solana said the same thing. I'll help you, but we need a demonologist, because this is really bad. I mean, his voice would change, and he would morph, and it was really bad. It was the poor guy. Well, he didn't want to do the work. He didn't want to do the work. So I'm sorry. I can't help you, dude, unless you do the work. So to this day, I don't know if he ever got help, but it was really a sad, sad situation. But that's what they kind of cling. They cling after weak people, people that mess with that kind of stuff. Drug addicts are big. I would say some, not a lot of alcoholics. I haven't heard a lot of stories about alcoholics, but drugs seem to be a big part. For some reason, these demons like to penetrate drug addicts. And weak-minded people that are cultive type people, very ungodly.
I'm pretty sure that there are people listening that are sitting back saying, "Oh my God, what if one comes to me?" And you know, if you're listening to the show, you're most probably spiritually oriented. This is nothing that you are going to have to worry about. We're not trying to spread fear here. We're trying to give you information.
No, do not fear it. One in a million people.
That's the other thing. I mean, have there been possessions? Absolutely. I mean, in the time of Christ. I mean, you know, he cast demons out of people.
Out of the pigs, too.
Yeah. Well, no, he cast demons into the pigs.
He cast them out of the people into the swine, yeah.
And then he made the pigs go into the sea, because demons don't like water.
No, they do not. That's a good point. And no, they do
so,
not.
So basically, I mean, they weren't destroyed. They had to leave the pigs, and you know, then they had to find another home. But
host, I hate that.
Host, okay. Now, you use the term paranormal, and that means above normal or outside of normal or whatever.
I call it abnormal because it's abnormal, but okay.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Abnormal.
So you're basically with the para-abnormal spirit realm. See, to me, paranormal is also things like UFOs and crop circles and things like that.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you know, so it is beyond normal, maybe. And you know, I think of what you're doing, and I am so in awe of what you take on, because you know, while you still do the readings and stuff like that, and you work with cards, I know, and I love what you post on Facebook when you put the different, even when you get the wrong date. But you're able to...
I love you, girl.
I do that all the time. I almost missed my show on Monday a week ago because I forgot. It was Memorial Day and it felt like Sunday to me, and I was getting all, you know, stuff together because I was supposed to do Chris's show on Sunday, and I had done it the night before, and so I was going to do it again the next day, and I thought, wait a minute, 8 o'clock. Oh my God, I have a show. And I really almost missed my own show because I lost the day. But you deal with those aspects in those areas that, I mean, I'm a medium and I will talk to spirits and you know, that have crossed over and that are, you know, visit and stuff like that. But you go into the realms that I just don't want to go into. I'm not confrontational, and you have to be, apparently, with those energies that you talk to. Now, paranormal, you know, you're talking spirit realm and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does this also include, you know, fairies, elves, and gnomes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've dealt with a few fairies and gnomes over the internet, Skype. I didn't personally wasn't there because you could do things energetically. You
mm-hmm.
could do investigations as well. You don't have to be there. So I've done some investigations over Skype with the camera, and
mm-hmm.
There was a woman that had a something going on in her backyard, and she had a beautiful garden, and she was an older woman, and it was definitely paranormal. She knew that there was something in her backyard, and it wasn't an animal. She had seen it with the corner of her eye, and she
mm-hmm.
swears it was a fairy or a gnome or something weird. And so I had her do the Skype thing and go through the backyard and let me see what was going on and what I could feel, and make sure, you know, because it could have been a squirrel for all I know. So I need to feel, and with my energy, I can kind of pick something up. And I definitely felt that there was a watcher in the backyard of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
It was a type of an elemental. So I would say it was an earth elemental, which would be kind of like a fairy. That sounds
yeah.
silly and weird to people. They're like, what? What? Tinkerbell? That's the first thing they think of. It's not quite like that. But this elemental, this particular elemental that she had in her backyard that I was feeling was very upset. She'd lived there for many, 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 many years, and when it was all open land and beautiful and very woodsy, it was back east and it's very woodsy and stuff, and they had built a lot of homes and stuff on the property around there, and it had grown up, and this elemental was very sad because its home and what it knew was gone. And but she kept it, this older lady had kept her backyard pretty natural. And there wasn't any traffic back there, a lot of kids or anything like that, because they like it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So this elemental loved her backyard and loved her garden, and she had some trees back there. And nobody ever went back there other than just kind of clean it up. Or the yard guy, I think, went out there once or twice a week or every other week or whatever. But other than that, it was no traffic in her backyard. But she knew there was some shenanigans going on back there because things would be moved, like some of her, she would have gnomes and stuff, she did, in the back. She had little globes and things like that, and these things would be moved. And she's like, but my gates are locked, and there's no animals. What, you know, what's happening here? So, yeah, I definitely found one in her backyard, and I told her it was perfectly innocent. And the way to make them happy, because this poor little thing, I believe, was sad and felt stuck there and what they've done to the land, I said, they love candy. And they really do. And I said, if you start offering this little guy some candy, to leave candy out there and fruit, he
mm-hmm.
will, and tell him, just talk to him. Say, don't move my stuff around. I'm very cantankerous about my things, and I like them where they're at. So I'm going to give you candy and fruit, and I'll take care of you, but don't bother my land, you know, whatever. So she started doing that. She would give an offering of candy and fruit, and it would be gone. And I told her, put it up high, but still it doesn't mean that, you know, a squirrel or something or a possum didn't walk by and eat it. But whatever had happened, I had talked to her a few times since, and the fruit and the candy would always be gone. So in her mind, it's like, oh, yay, they're eating it, and he's happy, and, you know, because things quit getting moved around and what have you. But she definitely had an elemental. And that's a paranormal, activity. It really is.
Oh, yeah, well, I've got a big garden, and when I go out and work in it, I usually talk to the little people and, you know,
yeah.
say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be helping this plant along, and you know, doesn't look like you're doing a very good job.
That's right. You talk to them because elementals like to be in knowledge as well. They are there. They are the watchers of our land and our seas and all around us and our skies. We have them. They're the elementals. They're earth, fire, water, air. They're around.
Yeah.
We have them.
I think that I
also wrote articles on elementals. Go ahead.
I live right on the north end of a pond, and you know, on a good day it's a pond, on a bad day it's a swamp, and it's 144 acres of pond. It's a pretty big pond, and you know, it's really kind of interesting. I think the most magical moments here are usually towards the end of June when the fireflies are out, and everything lights up like magic. And what's fascinating is on those nights when the fireflies are really, really energetic, you can literally see or feel the little people. And you know, I would love to say I see fairies, but I don't. But I know the little people are there because they come out to watch. And it's really, really cool. And you know, those are the days that you know, I really love the magic of this place. But elementals sometimes, when they're not happy with what's going on, can be annoying too.
Mm-hmm.
I have
yes,
found water, water elementals have been known to cause leaks, have been known to cause floods, you know, interior floods, like hot water heaters going,
yeah.
you know, off.
Yes.
So that sometimes when you're having trouble like that, it's a good idea to kind of take a look at what else is going around. I mean, yes, call a plumber, but if the plumber doesn't, you know, can't really get the entire problem, if you understand what's going on, you can sort of appease them and abate the problem so that you don't, you know, have to replace all the plumbing in your house before you realize that a water elemental is unhappy because you've directed a stream in the wrong direction or something like that. And sometimes
they can be cantankerous. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely can. Now when it comes to you know, when somebody calls you, usually it's because something very upsetting is going on. And, you know, that's the same reason people call psychics, and you certainly are a psychic as well. How can you differentiate just exactly where is the problem, whether it is a psychic thing, whether it's an emotional thing, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a spirit, you know, who's there? How can you really pinpoint what it is and what channel you have to go in to fix it?
Well, you know, you just have to, it's called the knowing. You just know. Like the house I did in Eagle Rock, it was a whole family that called me, and it was their grown people, very educated, very upstanding people in this community. And they had a home that was being haunted horribly, but their mom and dad, and they all grew up in this house, and their mom and dad had passed away. And now the house was being lived in by one son part-time. And other than that, you know, the house was pretty much alone. But they knew that this house was being horribly haunted and that there were things going on because of the guy living in it, the brother, had things happen where the closet door in his bedroom wouldn't open, and then all of a sudden it would open. And just crazy stuff like that was going on. So they wanted me to come and check this house out. Well, I'm thinking, okay, this is a family. They're very, very attached to this house. They all grew up in it. And it was their mom and dad's house, and now their mom and dad's dead. So there could be a lot of emotional things brought into this. You know, things may not be going the way they want it to go with the house. The neighborhood's kind of going to pot, and it's not the home they all grew up in, remember, and all the love and all that. So I'm thinking some of this could be in their minds that's going on. So I go in with that kind of frame of mind. okay, this is a family, this could be all of them, just kind of all getting together and talking and making the situation more than what it really is, if you understand what I'm trying to say. They're mm-hmm. very very sentimental to this house. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go. So I go to the house, and they all meet me there. Wonderful family. It's old house, and I go in. But the thing about it is, the second I walk into that house, I knew I felt something. Absolutely, hands down, there was something in that house. And I went, ooh, okay, wait a minute. But first, I'm going to interview the family. So I sit down, and I interview them and ask everybody what's going on, because I got to know if this is something that they're manifesting themselves. Could there be some mental issues, whatever. But they were very stable and very, no, I determined that there's something definitely going on here that's out of the ordinary. And even the brother, who was this big badass cop, I couldn't believe how big this guy was. He was amazing. And this spirit in this house scared the hell out of him. And this is a big badass cop. I'm telling you, the guy was so buffed. I've never seen anybody so buffed. And there's a spirit upstairs that scared him horribly. So, and I felt it. I knew something was there. So that's the thing. You know, I go in and I go in very open-minded, but then also knowing exactly what I am going to be walking into. So when I walked into that house, I knew there was something upstairs in that room. And sure enough, there was. And there was a horrible, there was actually a couple of one earthbound that came, that actually went to the light, that came back and he watches the house. And I said he was a cop, which I, you know, that was right. I said, I have a police officer here. He was a police officer years ago. I believe he lived in this house, but I was thinking their parents built the house, what I thought, back in the 30s or something.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was there was a man that built the house, and he was a cop. And I said, that man is watching this house. So he went to the light, and he chose to come back here, and he's here. And he watches this house, and he does not like this dark energy that's hanging out in that other bedroom. So that's when we had to go up there, and I had to do my thing with all my tools to get rid of this horrible dark energy that was in that room. It made me sick. I literally got sick. It took me 2 days to get over it. I got pushed around in the closet. Everybody saw it. It was not good, but I got rid of it. Even the man that I was communicating with, the first owner of the home that had died years ago, he was even afraid of this dark energy. He stayed in his part of the house, and that dark energy stayed in his part of the house. That was quite a situation. Yeah, that was one of my most intense. I was really surprised I was able to get rid of it the first try. I really was. I was thanking God so much. God, you know, God and my angels are very powerful. My angels, my spirit guide is amazing, and they do amazing work, and they're fantastic soldiers when it comes to clearing these homes out, because let me tell you, that thing was nasty. And I still don't know exactly what it was, but it was very, very nasty and very combative. And so, yeah, even the guy, the old man, I think his name was Charles, the man that his spirit was still in that house, he was even very grateful. I go, thank you. And I'm like, oh, my God. Even the earthbound, well, he wasn't basic. He chose to come back here. They even fear him. You know, think about that. That's how evil these things are.
That is
this
scary.
This thing had actually attached itself to that cop. And horrible things were happening in his life, and that's why it's another reason the family called me. His life became very chaotic. He was doing things that was not normal for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary. It was scary for him. But I got rid of it, and he's been good. He's been doing fantastic in the house. So,
that's
one of my greatest combative moments. Thank you, Spirit, for that. I still thank them. Yeah, that was amazing. But that's what I do. I go in and I feel, and I.
I have found that houses have feelings just like we do.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so many times when people have put their home up for sale and it doesn't sell, it sounds ridiculous, but I say to them, you have to explain to the house that you need to move on, but that you're going to find somebody that will love the house as much as you do. And they look at me so strangely. And when I had to sell the house that my family had owned for 50 years, I sat down and I said, you know, I can't afford to stay here. I can't afford to take care of you. But I'm going to find someone that will. And I started then to put together a notebook of every person that had ever worked on the house, every person that had ever, you know, the whole thing. I kept talking to the house as I was doing it, saying, okay, we have to remember to tell them about this, to tell them about that. And before long, it really felt like the whole energy of the house shifted, and it was like, okay, you know, they stank. They're not going to buy me, but somebody better will. And it got to the point where finally, I knew that the house was putting out an energy. For some people, it was very accepting. For other people, it didn't like them. And the house and I worked, and we found a couple that, and it was really kind of cute. People would come in and say, oh, you have a beautiful house. And, you know, I could feel the house saying, no, I'm not a house, I'm a home. And the first time somebody said, you have a beautiful home, I could feel the house saying, ooh, maybe, let's just, you know, let's test them type stuff. But homes do have an energy in and of themselves, on top of the fact that, yes, I know spirits can be there and energies can be there. But when we have created something and lived in it, we've imprinted it with our energy. And therefore, if a house isn't selling, maybe it's because it doesn't understand that, you know, you're not deserting it. You're trying to find someone who can take care of it better than you can.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe that, strange and weird as it is. But mm-hmm. I think sometimes...
I believe you.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
No, I think it's beautiful how you worded that. I've never quite worded it that way, but I do believe that it is something that's alive and that we created. We created this world in our home, and it's full of energy, not just like you said, the us and people that's in and out of the residuals or whatever. The walls have the energy. You know, everything has the energy in the house that we created.
When you stop to think about it, these homes have seen us through our darkest times, our happiest times. They've sheltered us from storms. They've been there when all hell broke loose in our lives, and they have sheltered us. And to not, you know, respect that part of it. You know, it was like I was giving my child over to some other people, and you know, we had been in that house for 50 years. And
absolutely.
That's a long time, and I think some people just look upon their houses, their homes, as, you know, inanimate objects, and they are so much more than an inanimate object. And sometimes I think that we need to... give them credit for what they've done, and let them know that we are grateful.
That's beautifully said. Wow.
I'm never selling my house.
Aww. You know what?
No, I
love how you worded that. That is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's another. It's an energy, but it's a consciousness. I mean, I don't know, some condos that are you know, just thrown up and you know, not taken care of and stuff like that. I don't know if they have the same feeling of consciousness to them that homes do that have age.
The home.
But absolutely. They may or may not. I just haven't had experience with them.
Well,
so
this family in Eagle Rock, you know, these kids, they're not kids. They're, some of them are my age, but still, they could not fathom the thought of ever selling that home. That home was, one of the ladies told me, this is where I come to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have, when I feel I need healing or I need anything, I come here. This is home. I was born and raised here. And all the kids felt that way. They could never sell. They even said that. I will never be able to sell this house. None of them. And that amazed me that they were so attached to that home. And that was a home. For Teresa to tell me she goes there to heal, I'm like, wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, some of the craziness that went on in our home was literally crazy, but you know, that's it sheltered us for so long and it was funny because funny kinda when my mother died. She didn't die in the house, but she, you know, was in a nursing home. And that night, you know, my sister was there, my son was there, and that night, suddenly there was a commotion in the basement, and a water pipe had burst, and you know, everybody was trying to be, you know. They were trying to be very sympathetic to me because I was so sleep deprived from the last couple of months of my mom, but my sister's comment was, "The house is crying, the house is crying." I walked downstairs. I walked through this group of adults who were standing in the garage, not knowing how to turn the damn thing off. I went over and I turned it off, and I said, "House may be crying, but the pipe broke too."
That's sweet, though. The house is crying.
House is crying. Mother died. And I said, "I'm sure Mother did not make that happen. Mother really, you know."
No.
My sister was sure that my mother had broken the pipe so that, you know. But you know, I think that we have to. You know, there's so much that we don't understand about so much that is profound. But, you know, energy and spirit energy is just so much a part of all of our lives today. It's important that we kind of acknowledge it and give it credit. And I know that, you know, what you do is profound. And yes, you've got a reality TV series going, but at the same time, you're out there to educate the public in all sorts of wonderful ways, you know, just the magic that is a part of this field. And you know, somebody once said that you know, what you can't explain but happens is true magic. And I think that's what you do, because you're dealing with, in many cases, things that people can't see but they can feel, so they know they're there.
It is
in a way a form of magic, and I love that term, because magic to me just means, you know, okay, this I can't explain it, I can't prove it, but I know it's here and I know it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that sums it up. Mm-hmm.
But the sad thing is that people have to exhaust all other possibilities before they reach for the magic, and the magic really should be the first thing they reach for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when
it comes to illnesses,
you know, when it comes to illnesses and stuff like that, yeah, go see the doctors. But at the same time, look for emotional causes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that lots of times something will happen to me that there is an absolute physicality to it, but there's also a spiritual explanation for it. And sometimes when you can grasp the spiritual explanation, the physical manifestation goes away.
That's true.
So you know, but I love what you do. I love the fact that, you know, you are one of those few people that can get out there and can present what you do in a dramatic way. But I'm pretty sure you're also keeping it as truthful as, you know, and as accurate as you possibly can. You're not, you know, I mean, there are shows out there that make a farce of this field, and I'm sure you're not doing that.
No, you know, that's one of the things, and I told my producer in Hollywood this, you know, I understand that there has to be embellishments. I understand that because you got to capture your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And, but one thing with my show is that you won't, that can't happen. I will not lower my integrity like that when it comes to the show. What I do is what I do, period, the end. I'm not going to make up a ghost over here and make it look like that chair is moving and stuff. That's not going to happen. And they assured me, Chris,
mm-hmm.
you are so charismatic, crazy that, you know, we won't have to do that. Everybody will be asphyxiated on you blowing shit up. So it's okay, you know. Yeah, that's the F word. Sorry about that. But anyway, so no, I won't be doing that. But many shows, and it's unfortunate in Hollywood, too, and I don't blame these people, but they do have to kind of embellish on some things because...
Well,
no,
I mean,
you're not gonna watch the show.
I'm sure you've seen Taps, those Ghostbusters, right?
Yes,
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, they did one year a Halloween special,
mm-hmm.
and they did it at the hotel where, you know, Jack. The Jack Nicholson movie was.
The
Shining.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I got it. Yeah.
And they were investigating the ballrooms and this, and I don't know why it always has to happen at night, except it's more dramatic, I guess. But anyhow, they were in the basement, and they suddenly heard this, hello, hello, and they're saying, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you get that? Did you get that? And I'm sitting there thinking, have you never heard a cat cry? Because when they cry, they say hello.
Yes, they did.
And it was so obviously a cat but let me tell you, you would have thought it was the Second Coming by what the fuss they put up.
Because they're always trying to get the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
I got the Holy Grail of spirit captured on camera. Thank you very much.
I do.
I have the Holy Grail. Uh-huh.
Do you really?
I really do. I have a spirit captured on camera that is absolutely amazing. That's what put me on the, kind of what I say, helped put me on the map
mm-hmm.
by this particular spirit. If you go watch, if you Google it, I'll haunt you when I'm dead. Again, I'll say it. I'll haunt you when I'm dead. It's
okay.
A television show that myself, my cousin, my partner Mary, and my dear friend, we did this show. And it was
okay.
about the haunting that we had in my home. And we have on film, and they used it in the show, an actual spirit that could not be debunked. I sent that thing to everybody that I knew that could debunk it. Film people, nobody can debunk this spirit. And it you can literally see its head. You can literally watch that head turn and blink and watch. It was amazing, amazing. Some of the people in this room have seen it. It's an amazing capture of spirit, and they call it the Holy Grail, and that's what all paranormal investigators want, is that Holy Grail, you know? That's what they're looking for. Me, myself, I already caught mine, so I'm done. Next!
Well,
but,
you know, you know, when we have moments like that, it's like, yes, I'm doing the right thing. And every now and then I find that I have one of those moments, and it may not be on the radio. It could be in any manner, way, shape, or form of my doing my work, whatever that definition is. But I will have something happen that is so profound that I just say, thank you, God. Okay, I'm on the right path. I may be stumbling. And I may be faltering from time to time, but every now and then I get one of those reminders or confirmations that I'm doing the right thing. And I have to send out a caution to everyone. You don't ask for those moments because that can be dangerous. A long time ago when I was painting the cards that got published, every now and then I had moments when it was like, this could be one of the biggest ego trips I've ever booked. I could be fooling myself so royally it's unbelievable, and you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything that is not from the purest good, you know, and I don't want to take an ego trip here. And if I'm doing that, then I'm going to stop now. And I one night, and I was halfway through painting the deck, and I painted like 12 hours a day plus working and being a mother. I was walking the dog. It was like 2:30 in the morning. And we lived right by the water, so that when you walked and it was this time of year, you could hear the rigging and the sailboats clanking in the boatyards that were nearby. And I'm talking, well, I'm not sure who I was talking to, because it was me and the dog, but it was, you know, if is anybody listening? And it was like, you know, I need to have a sign, because to be honest with you, I'm having a question of faith. I don't know if what I'm doing is my ego, or if it's something that I'm really meant to do or meant to become involved in. And, you know, I need a sign. Now, you know, doesn't have to be a burning bush, doesn't have to be a clap of thunder, doesn't have to be, you know, a bolt of lightning, but I do need a sign, because if I don't get a sign, I'm going to stop, because I really need to have that sign to tell me, you know, this is not an ego trip, keep going. And you know, I repeated that maybe three times, and I looked at the dog and I said, if I don't get a sign, I'm just going to put my paints up, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to have a good night's sleep, and we'll get on with it in the morning. And dog just looked at me and, you know, went on sniffing the grass. And I kept saying, I need a sign. Damn it, I need a sign. How hard can it be to give me one little sign? Now, seagulls don't fly at night. It was pitch black dark. A seagull flew over my head and shit on me. And I looked up and I said, you know, I know this is supposed to be good luck, and you know, I'll take this as my sign, but I'm never going to ask for a sign outside again, ever, ever, ever. And you know, you get the when you ask for a sign, sometimes it comes in a very unique and different way. Quite possibly just saying to the universe, you know, if I'm going the wrong way, please, you know, change my direction for me in a gentle manner, because otherwise they use a 2x4. But I'm sure that you've probably had those moments when you just have wondered, is this really what I should be doing? And I'm sure you got confirmation that it is, because certainly things wouldn't be opening up for you if it weren't. And, you know, with what you've done, with stuff you've written, with the fact that you got, you know, come on, how many people get a pilot of their life? You know, that had to be one of the most exciting things that could, did they approach you?
It all started with an email. They had seen my show, I'll Haunt You When I'm Dead, and they wanted to interview me for the show. And so sure enough, we talked, and it just kind of took off from there. So, yeah, it was really cool. It was awesome. It was quite an honor.
Now, how long did the pilot actually take to film?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it took a lot longer than normal, because we had to wait for this certain kind of camera that we wanted, the slow-mo camera. And this one camera, it seems like this guy's wanted all over the world, so we had to wait for him. So it took us a good 6 months to do the pilot.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a long time. And now it's finally done, and I've seen the reel. It's great. Now we're just waiting for the network, one of the networks to pick it up. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. What happened?
Absolutely. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you're just plowing ahead with everything else, which is the appropriate thing to do, for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you have other plans? I know you have the show with Solana that you're working on, and you have, I'm sure, a whole bunch of amazing people that you have lined up that you're going to be working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, absolutely. We're going to have some great guests on our show. It's on Wednesday nights. We're excited about. So, or Wednesday afternoons, actually. And so, yeah, it's just a paranormal show and psychic, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Have you gone into things like levitation and telepathy and stuff like that, or are you going to go into those things?
I've got so much on my plate now, I don't think I can even handle that right now. Have I thought about it, read a little on them? Oh, absolutely. Same thing with table tipping. I've looked into that, and you know, Ouija boards and things like that. I think that's all fascinating. I don't think it's as dangerous as people say it is if you know what you're doing. You definitely need to know what you're doing when you play with these things. I don't recommend them for anybody if you do not know what you're doing. But, yeah, I definitely love all that and the levitations and ectoplasm. I think it's amazing and things like that. I've read about it and looked into it, but have I practiced it? Not too much. I just
well,
I want to do it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ectoplasm was really something that was commonly talked about in the 1800s when mediums started, you know, to become more and more and more well known and stuff like that. And some of them were able to fake it well, and some of them were just so accurate that it was just unbelievable. And if you've ever seen film of ectoplasm, I mean, you'll never forget it. And
it's pretty amazing. I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, yes. And it is phenomenal. And you know, a lot of stuff that was very common in the 1800s seems to have fallen by the wayside, and hopefully people are beginning to pick up some of that stuff again because it is phenomenal.
It is. And there's a few people that do still do it. There's a young lady I met just recently in Bel Air, California, that was out here training with Lisa Williams. She does ectoplasm seances, and and from what I hear, it's pretty doggone amazing. She's pretty good at it. And I know Lisa Williams, she dabbles in it somewhat, and she discusses it in some of her classes. We've talked about it. I think it's fascinating. I know a lot of it was fake back in the day, in the 30s and 40s and stuff, but then there was some that there's no way. I think one of the great, who was the Houdini?
Mm-hmm.
Tried to debunk it one time with a woman. I cannot think of her name. I'm so sorry. Tried to debunk it with a woman that was famous for doing ectoplasm, and he couldn't even debunk it. It was that amazing. And that was back in the 30s. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, back in the day, there were, I mean, Sir Conan Doyle was very into spirituality. There were a lot of very famous people that took part in spiritual investigations and experimentations, and it's you know, and then it fell into the it's just a parlor trick, and now it's coming back into its own, and I'm really, really glad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, especially because it does help to give explanation to a lot of things that go on, and you know, science sometimes, just because it doesn't understand something, calls it a fraud. And the reality is science is having to back up a lot on a lot of different things these days. I mean, even into some of the investigations and things like that have gone on as to the antiquity of a lot of the ancient structures and things like that. So scientists, instead of being, you know, absolute, are now becoming a little more understanding of the fact that just because they don't understand it doesn't mean it can't be real. And I think that's happening in the metaphysical community as well. And that there is greater respect. I mean, they have tested the brainwaves of mediums and found that when they're actually communicating with spirits, that different parts of their brains become active and other parts of their brains actually just sort of go on neutral for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very obvious that something is happening physically when a medium is working. And I think it would be fascinating to see the same sort of a test on you when you were, you know, casting something out or doing one of your clearings. Because it would seem to me that conscious part of you would not be as present as the intuitive part of you in knowing what to say and how to say it.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. I would love that. I would say bring it on. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, and you know, I mean, great advertisement for you, but also in proving that there is a shift and change in consciousness when one is doing something with authenticity. And, you know, not every medium is going to let them put those things on their head and put that gooey stuff in their hair, but I don't think everybody should be, should have to go through that. But what Teresa Caputo did it. And
did she do the ectoplasm? Yeah, I didn't know that.
No. She did the testing of her brain from when she just talking. And I don't think she does the ectoplasm. But I like her. I think she's a very sincere lady. She's not. Not my style. It's not my style at all. But I do feel she is absolutely authentic. But I would think that just being able to prove that there are changes, something is definitely happening. We're using a different part of our brain when we're doing this stuff. Would validate it to a great degree.
Mm-hmm. That would be really neat.
I think it's so cool. Maybe we'll have to see if we can't find somebody who can do it with you, because that would be awesome.
You can put that on my head. I'll do it. That would be fun.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd love to read that.
That would really be fascinating. I'll do some research, see if I can find somebody that has that I forget what machine they used, but they mapped the brain, and in mapping the brain while she was just talking, they showed certain areas of her brain that were very active, and then when she was doing the mediumship, everything shut down except one area.
Isn't
and I think it was I think it was around the pituitary, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not positive, but I think it was around the pituitary. And that would make sense.
It would make sense. And that would that be around the pineal gland? Would that?
Yes.
I'm not sure. It is around the pineal gland. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Because we're using the third eye, the pineal gland, when we're doing this.
Right.
So.
It absolutely destroys your hairdo, but I think she was a great sport to let them destroy her hair just to do the test. And what I respected greatly was Dr. Phil. It was on Dr. Phil's show, and he said, now this may show nothing, and what is your reaction going to be if it shows nothing? And she said, I don't care. I know I help people, and I don't care if the machine shows it one way or the other.
That's exactly right. It's all about helping the people, giving
absolutely.
Them peace of mind. That's why we do what we do.
You got it. Well, we are flat out of time, and I want to thank you so much for talking to me. Is this went fast?
You're welcome. Yeah, it did. It was quite an honor, and I so enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm so delighted that we got a lot of information out there. And I want people to understand that while attachments can happen, the severe, scary ones happen infrequently. And if you're spiritually oriented, probably not at all. But but Christina can always check you out and tell you what's going on. Her information is on Facebook, all over Facebook, I might add. But is there a website? Because I looked for one but didn't find one.
Yeah, I do. It's www.christinanelsonmedium.com.
Oh, okay. So that shows you how good I was at investigation. No, I found all the Facebook ones, and I thought, crap, she's got to have a website as well. Actually, on your bio, it's all Facebook stuff. There is no website listed, by the way.
I should get that on there, I guess. Huh? It would be a good idea. But it is ChristinaNelsonMedium.com.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much. I so appreciate your taking the time, and I know you're going on vacation, so you have a hell of a vacation.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here tonight, and thank you everybody for listening, and those of you that came in for readings and stayed to listen, thank you even more. Take care now, Christina, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everybody.